أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. After talking about the nature of iman last week, now we want to explore the qualities of mu'min, the qualities which somehow distinguishes him from a Muslim, from just a Muslim, someone who's just a Muslim. Now, these qualities, let us go back to the verse that we had last week. لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله. This is a very clear verse in definition of mu'min, that someone who has faith should have this quality, otherwise they are not mu'minun. Now, the translation is, you will not find a people believing in Allah on the last day, enduring those who oppose Allah and His apostle, even though they were their own parents or children or brothers or kinsfolk. So, here the direction of love, of liking and disliking, changes in mu'min. Now, we know that there are origins of this liking and disliking or love in us. For example, love for children, love for parents, love for those who are related to us, friends. Here, especially because this verse was revealed when families were split. Some of them were mushrikun, some of them were mu'minun, and people were thinking which one should come first, love of God and the Prophet or love of their relatives, their children. Here it says the true sign of faith is that your love should be directed towards God, no matter who is standing on the way, your children, your parent. If they are standing on the way, then you do not like them the way you like God and the messenger. So, you will not find the people believing in Allah and the last day. So, this is faith. يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر. The faith cannot be unless they do not endear those who oppose Allah and His apostle, even though they were their own parents or children or brothers or kinsfolk. For such, He has written faith into their hearts. So, first of all, أُولَٰئِكَ كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهُمُ الْإِيمَانِ. Faith is something which comes to the heart by God. He writes it. كَتَبَ. He writes it. Now, of course, writing is not writing with a pen. Actually, He makes it to be located, to reside there in the heart, faith. And when this faith comes, and when it resides in the heart, then the direction of your hope would change. When you want to like something or dislike something, your main criterion is whether this is liked by God or not liked by God. You put God before everything else. This is the main criterion of iman. Now, we are not talking about Islam. We know Muslimin may prefer their relatives over everything else. We know Muslimin may sometimes do injustice because of their relations, kins. This is the quality of Muslimin. But when mu'min has faith written in the heart, then this changes. Now, this of course elaborates in our traditions very lucidly. The first and foremost of sign of faith is at-tawalla wa tabarra. Tawalla means to take side with someone. Tabarra means to disown someone. Who you take side with and who you disown. This is the most important criterion of faith. And I will tell you later on why these are taken to be two of the main principal practices of Shia faith,
of Shia faith.
Now, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله أصحابه. This is a hadith which has come in Sunni and Shi'i sources. أيغر الإيمان أوثق فقالوا الله ورسوله أعلم وقال بعضهم الصلاة وقال بعضهم الزكاة. Now let's look at the translation. The Prophet asked his companions, which group of faith is more reliable? Urwa is plural of Urwa. Urwa means something which you grip, or a handle which you actually hold of. Which group of faith is more reliable? They said God and His Messenger knows better. Then some said Salat, some said Zakat. The Messenger of God said, all that you said have merits, but is not the one which is the awthaq or al-iman, the most reliable grip of faith. The most reliable grip of faith is loving in God and hating in God and supporting the friends of God and disowning the enemies of God. This al-hubbu fillah wal-bughdhu fillah, we have in numerous traditions that this is the true criterion of faith. And if you want to measure your faith in your heart, you just see how your heart leans towards things. If you hate people because of God, if you love people because of God, then that is because our hatred is usually because of our selfish interests. We hate people because they do not respect us. We hate them because they have done something wrong to us or whatever. And our love is the same thing. However, here it says your love and hate should be based on love of God, for the sake of God. And some actually say that this is هَلَ الدِّينَ إِلَّا الْحُبُّ وَالْبُغْضِ, is religion anything but love and hate. That means love in the sake of God and hate for the sake of God and hate for the sake of God, of course. Now, this tawalla and tabarra has been included as part of furu'ud-din for Shia. Now we have usul-ud-din, which is mainly to deal with the tenets of faith, and furu'ud-din, which is to do with practice of faith. Now, usul-ud-din is 5, isn't it? It's Tawheed, Nubuwwah, Ma'ad, Adl, Imamah, for us Shia, of course. I'm not talking about generally all Muslim different schools. Furu'ud-din are 10. It's that 4, apart from Shahadatu Allah, 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 the 4 that we mentioned, Salat, Zakat, Hajj, and Sawm, the 4, fasting, Salat, Zakat, and Hajj. Then we have another 6 added to it. One is Khums, which is, of course, somehow could be included in Zakat. And then the other five are the most difficult ones, actually. These 5 are pillars of Islam, as we mentioned. The pillars of faith are more difficult than pillars of Islam. And that is Jihad, which is very difficult, and Amr bil Ma'ruf, Nahi anil Munkar. This is 7. Sorry, this is 8. This is 8. And Tawalla, that is Hubbu fillah, loving for the sake of God. What Tabarra? And this is practice. It's very interesting. It has come as part of practice, not as part of inner feeling. That you do not take side with the enemies of God. You disown them and you take side with those who love God, those who strive to be with God. And of course, many, many, many verses in the Quran address to the prophets. And we know prophet was always like that, but it is addressed to the prophet telling us, for example, wasbir nafsaka مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ. Stay with those who call their Lord morning and evening, seeking their pleasure. وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ, because they are poor, because they are weak, because they are uneducated, or whatever. Do not turn your eyes towards others who are richer, who are wealthier, who are more powerful, who are more educated or whatever. Okay. ولا تعد عيناك عنهم تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا. Having an eye on the adornment of the life of this world. So the prophet is ordered in the Quran for tawalla and tabarra. Of course, that's for us to learn, and it has been placed as part of the Furu'ud-Din of Shia. And actually, supporting Ali ibn Abi Talib is one aspect of it, isn't it? We have many traditions which say the criterion of faith is Hubbu Ali ibn Abi Talib. Hubbu Ali ibn Abi Talib is criterion of faith, because Ali ibn Abi Talib, love of Ali ibn Abi Talib is for the sake of God. And hate of his enemies is for the sake of God. So he becomes the criterion of faith. وَلَوْلَا أَنْتَ يَا عَلِي لَمْ يُعْرَفُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ بَعْدِي. If you were not, Ya Ali, there, then the mu'minun would not have been recognized after me, because you are the criterion for tawalla and tabarra. Now, I put all these 10 in numbers here, just for those who may have forgotten it, the Furu'ud-Din. And why do you call them furu and not usul? Because furu means branches or secondary things, and usul means principles or primaries, because there are practices which are based on certain belief as branches that sit on the trunk. That's why we call them furu'ud-din, branches of faith, not faith itself. They are branches of faith, but they show faith. If you remember in the first session, I mentioned that these qualities are not prescriptive, they are descriptive. Now, this has caused lots of confusion. Many people have asked me, so do you mean that we shouldn't try to gain these qualities? It is partly prescriptive, partly descriptive. You cannot create this hate and love in your heart. It should come. When your faith is increased, it would come itself. You find yourself hating certain people and loving certain other people. And this may, of course, differ a little bit with what mostly the Christian discourse nowadays say, love for everyone. That God loves everyone and we have to love everyone as well. This may differ, not a little bit, actually greatly, although, because God has created everyone, initially that creation has actually originated from love. Because God loved us, He created us. However, we may do certain things which brings unpleasant sort of feeling. Of course, God doesn't have feelings, but it's unpleasant for God. And gradually, God hates a person with those qualities. Now, if you have read Surah Isra, Surah Isra lists a number of things that people should do or shouldn't do. Now, for example, لا تقتلوا أولادكم خشية إملاق, out of poverty, do not kill your children. لا تقتلوا النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق, do not kill anyone unless it's based on haq, justice, right punishment, or whatever, or in a jihad, or anything for the sake of God. Do not, لا تقربوا الزنا, do not get close to fornication or adultery. لا تقربوا مال اليتيم, do not get close to the properties of the orphans. Now, after listing all these, he says, كل ذلك, all these things that I mentioned, كان سيئه. Now, it means that certain things create a sort of evil evil environment around us, evil ambience. We are then shrouded with that evil. And that evil, that sayya, كُلُّ ذَلِكَ كَانَ سَيِّئُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ مَكْرُوحًا. The evil of all these things are very hated by your Lord. Now, if these evils are hated by the Lord, so someone who's all the time carrying these evils is hated by the Lord. You cannot say God loves everyone. Yes, initially God loves everyone, but God doesn't love certain things to happen. And then it's because of these evils which the system of justice comes back and hits people. Because God hates that, and system of justice always tries to somehow rectify, to bring back things to justice and haq. So it hits. فَعَصَابَهُمْ سَيِّئَاتُ مَا كَسَبُوا. The evils of what they did. Now what we do, lying, plundering, taking other people's properties, oppression, all these things, these create sayya around us. And then this sayya hits back. That's what Allah always says, فَعَصَابَهُمْ سَيِّئَاتُ مَا كَسَبُوا. The evil of what they did hit them back. And this is exactly what happens in the hereafter. The evil of things hits back on us. Now, therefore, it's not the case that God loves everyone and everything, even if a person is absolutely shrouded in this sayyat, which is unpleasant for God, which God hates it, God loves that person. No. Then, based on that, you find in your heart certain feeling. If Allah has written iman in your heart, أُولَٰئِكَ كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهُمُ الْإِيمَانِ. If iman is written in your heart, you find that feeling. So this is not absolutely prescriptive. It's descriptive. However, we sometimes have to try to imitate the mu'minun by taking sight. And this itself gives that sense of iman and faith. The danger of imitating is that at certain points you may stop imitating. You may go back to your own character, nature. And this is what happened to many companions of the Prophet, for example. This is what happened to many Muslims. What happens to many of us? We imitate initially, then at one point we stop imitating because it's not us. So although it's prescribed to do all these things, but we have to try to make that part of our nature. Yeah. We may actually not be hypocrites. We may try to do it, but because we haven't somehow made our nature in a way that these things become part of our nature, a malaka, which as hits back in the sense that, for example, you do injustice, certain communities do injustice, suddenly a flood comes and destroys everything. It hits back in that way. All the time, God hits back, or we don't say God, that system that he has created, system of justice. It hits back people who transgress, who oppress, who do evil things. It hits back in their lives, in their property, in their heart. That's how it works. This system of punishment is exactly the same as the system of punishment which exists in the hereafter. But in the hereafter, it's very clearly seen. Here, we don't see it because it may take long time. We may have done something 20 years ago, and then the sayya of that hits back now. We don't realize why. Where did it come from? Why it happened, for example. Anyhow, so these tawalla and tabarra, you can also notice that the five things which are added to pillars of Islam, you notice that they are stronger, more difficult, and somehow put a person more on spot for testing the faith, the true faith of a person. Because Salat and Zakat, as Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq said, do not be deceived by Salat and prayer and Sawm and fast of people. Because this becomes a habit. It's not very difficult. When Jihad comes, when this taking side comes, that you take side, although it's not in your favor, although it's not in the favor of your business, you take side not based on these things, you take side based on love for God, that's of course very tasking and demanding. Now, I mentioned this. The five which are added, jihad, amr bil ma'ruf, nahy an al munkar, tawalla an tabarra. These are actually the defining factors of faith. Those are defining factors of Islam. These are defining factors of iman. Now, there are other traditions emphasizing this quality as a significant aspect of iman. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, لا يبلغ أحدكم حقيقة الإيمان حتى يحب أبعد الخلق منه في الله ويبغض أقرب الخلق منه في الله. No one would reach the truth of iman until they love the farthest people from them for the sake of God. People in, say, for example, in a faraway land, they are oppressed, but they are faithful. You love to help them. What's that going to do with me? I mean, it's not my people, it's not my community. There's nothing to do with me. However, of course, أبعد الخلق, the farthest people from them. You love them for the sake of God. Now, we Iranians, you Indians, Khojas, whatever, we love the Prophet who was Arab, okay? So, why do we love Prophet who was Arab? I mean, we find certain people in Iran who say, actually, Arabs destroyed Iran, destroyed the culture, destroyed the civilization, everything. They attacked these Bedouins came to Iran and destroyed everything. So why should we follow an Arab prophet, for example? We find these voices very much heard in Iran, for example. Well, although they are Abadul Khalq, they are very far away from us, from our culture, from our, but we love them for the sake of God. And we may hate people in our family for the sake of God. So, and hate the closest people to them for the sake of God. And as I said, this, do not try to force it upon yourself. It's not something that you can force. If iman is in your heart, you find, you feel it. You feel that is the case. Now, the second defining element of iman is refraining from sin. A Muslim may do lots of sins, okay? A Muslim who prays, fasts, may do lots of sins. Sometimes they go and drink, sometimes they do other things. However, a mu'min wouldn't do that. You remember when we were describing the defining the faith, we said there's a ruh of faith which is attached to mu'minun in the heart. And when they sin, it detaches. And then after they repent, it comes back. After they repent. So sinning is not something that a mu'min would do, except الَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمَ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ إِلَّا اللَّمَمْ. Suddenly, you are caught in a situation, for example. You do some sin. That's what Allah says, I will forgive. I will forgive if you are caught in a situation and suddenly you find yourself sinning. However, that doesn't negate the idea that the Ruhul Iman would go and come back. And I don't know. Sinning against God. Sinning. Will you forgive if I sin against my brother? Well, sinning means sinning needs repentance, isn't it? And repentance has certain criterions, has certain fact elements which go with it. For example, sinning against God, the repentance of it is real regret and real resolve that you do not go back. Now, sinning against someone else, to repent, it requires regret, it requires resolve not to go back, and it requires to compensate. Yeah. So that's the repentance of it. So the repentance has a different meaning here.
But the other person might not agree to the compensation, or he might not agree to
the... Well, try to convince him. If that's the case, then you have to plead to God to forgive, certainly. Well, if you have tried your best to compensate for what you have done, yes, of course, God will forgive. God is kinder than we are.
It's not his right to forgive.
all right belongs to God. You see? So all right belongs to God. And therefore, sometimes, for example, we have this hadith. I've mentioned this hadith before, that people on the Day of Judgment, people who have sinned against each other, God brings them together on the Day of Judgment. Of course, this is just a metaphor. And tells those who have sinned, who have been sinned against, those who have been somehow, their rights are violated, whatever they want from others, I give them such and such in place of it. Several palaces in paradise and all these things. And most of them say, okay, yes, we take this and forgive. For those who say, we don't take this, we really want revenge, Allah says, okay, wait. And they wait for several years there. Some of them say, oh, Allah, come back. We want to forgive. We want to forgive. And after several hundred years, Allah comes back. As I said, this is a metaphor, okay? And again says, who wants to forgive? And I give such and such and such and such in place of it. And many people say, we forgive. And some who are very stubborn, they say, no, you don't want to forgive. And Allah says, okay, wait. So at the end of the day, Allah will somehow try to get the agreement of everyone. Now, from the Prophet, peace be on him, من قال لا إله إلا الله مخلصا دخل الجنة. Whoever says لا إله إلا الله sincerely would enter paradise. Sincerely. And he was asked, what is sincerity in this? How do we say sincerely لا إله إلا الله? He replied that this statement prevents him, that this statement, the sincerity is that this statement prevents him from what God has forbidden. So if we say la ilaha illallah and we sin, it means that we are not sincere in the statement. If we say la ilaha illallah and we do not sin, it means that we are sincere. And if anyone saying la ilaha illallah without being salatul layl, namaz al-shab and all these things, without going to all those details, would enter paradise. That's a good deal, isn't it? Just don't sin. Now, the third quality, good manners, حسن الخلق, which has been very much emphasized. The mu'min has حسن الخلق. The munafiq doesn't have حسن الخلق. Again, hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أحسن الناس إيمانا أحسنهم خلقا وألطفهم بأهله وأنا ألطفكم بأهلي. The Prophet said, the best people in terms of iman are those with best manners and the kindest to their families. And I am the kindest among you to my family. Of course, this is part of حسن الخلق, isn't it? So حسن الخلق is a result, is a fruits of iman. And also a very interesting hadith, this one. I chose it because it's very interesting. Al mu'min ya'kulu bi shahwati ahlihi wal munafiqu ya'kulu bi shahwatihi. The mu'min eats according to the taste and desire of his family. If they like bananas, for example, and he likes pineapple, he buys bananas rather than pineapple. Isn't it? Ya'kulu bi shahwati ahlihi, whatever they like, whatever they want to have. It said that someone visited Imam Hussein alayhi salam in his house, and there were lots of carpets and all these exotic things. And the man was a bit surprised that why Imam has all these luxuries. And he couldn't help himself asking, why have you put all these luxuries in your house? He said, these are not for me. I have given the mahr of my wife. She has bought them for herself. I do not object, of course, to this is shahwatu ahlihi. This is the desire of his family. And munafiq eats according to his own taste and desire. They set their food, this color of curtain, okay, this color of carpet, this type of food, and all these things. This is part of husnul khulq, of course. Part of husnul khulq. And this, of course, is not possible unless the person is has ascetic inclinations. By asceticism, I don't mean leaving the world completely. It means that it doesn't have much attachment to these things, to food, to decoration, to luxuries, to such things. It's indifferent for them, actually. So if you have this ascetic inclination in you, and this is not only for husbands, for wives as well. Do not take it wrong. Wives sometimes as well are quite opinionated on these things. And خَيْرُ مَا أُعْطِيَ الرَّجُلُ الْمُؤْمِنُ خُلْقٌ حَسَنٌ وَشَرُّ مَا أُعْطِيَ الرَّجُلُ قَلْبُ سُوءٍ فِي سُورَةٍ حَسَنَةٍ. The best thing given to the mu'min is good manners, and the worst thing given to a person is an evil heart behind a beautiful face. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ تُعْجِبُكَ أَجْسَامُهُمْ. When you see munafiqun, you are amazed, wondered by their appearance. وَإِنْ يَقُولُوا تَسْمَعْ لِقَوْلِهِمْ. When they speak, you would like to listen to them. They speak very nicely. However, there's an evil heart inside. And from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, إِنَّ الْخُلْقَ الْحَسَنِ يُمِيثُ الْخَطِيئَ كَمَا تُمِيثُ الشَّمْسَ الْجَلِيدِ. The good character melts the sins as the sun melts the ice. Very good. And again, of course, the traditions in this there are myriads of traditions, so I've just chosen a sample of different types. أكثر ما تلج به أمتي الجنة تقوى الله وحسن الخلق. The most common things by which my ummah enter paradise are taqwa and good character. Of course, good character is part of taqwa, but حسن الخلق is mentioned because of its prominence here. And أكملكم إيمانا أحسنكم خلقا. The most perfect of you in faith is the best of you in akhlaq. So this, again, a person might have Islam, might not have Husnul Khulq. But if Iman comes, Husnul Khulq comes with it. And we better try to have these good manners, even if we imitate, because that would gradually drag us into, it becomes a habit. And when it becomes a habit, then it helps us to increase our Iman. And of course, the other very famous element of faith is patience and gratitude. A Muslim may not have patience, may not have gratitude, may not appreciate God's favors, but a mu'min always have this sense of appreciation and always have patience in calamities. Now, a couple of hadiths in this. Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam, al-mu'min shakirun fi sarra, sabirun fi al-bala, khaifun fi al-rakha. The mu'min is grateful in comfort, patient in tribulations, and fearful in affluence. Now, what's the meaning of the last statement? Fearful in affluence, khaifun fi al-rakha. Anyone knows?
True.
And also it may be a test that we may not be able to fulfill. Usually tribulations, we know that it's a test. And we say, okay, we have to be patient. And we are in affluence, we do not realize it's a test. And therefore, we may somehow go astray very quickly. And from Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam, الخير الذي لا شر فيه الشكر مع النعمة والصبر على النازلة. The two qualities which are good in which there is no evil, these are gratitude with ni'mah and patience in calamity. This is a good in which there is no shar. If you have that patience and gratitude, of course you have all the good in you. And also this very famous hadith, As-sabru min al-iman bima'zalat al-ra'sa min al-jasad wa la imana liman la sabra lah. The place of patience in iman is like the place of head on the body. He who has no patience has no iman. Because if you take the head off, the body would die. If you take the sabr out of the heart of mu'min, the iman would die. Now, there are three types of sabr, and you can judge which one is more difficult, actually. As-sabru thalatha, sabrun ala al-musiba, wa sabrun ala al-ta'a, wa sabrun ala al-ma'siyah, from the Prophet, peace be on him. Patience of three kinds, patience in calamity, patience in obedience, and patience over disobedience. Now, patience in obedience is coming, isn't it? Ramadan, you have to fast 19 hours. You have to have patience, isn't it? This patience in obedience. Or jihad, for example. Or you go through hardship because of your faith, because of obeying God. This patience in obedience is one branch of patience. Patience over disobedience, like, for example, you are tempted to do something because of circumstances, because you have certain drives which drives you towards that, and you have patience over that. And patience in calamity. Patience in calamity, which one of these is more difficult? I mean, if I want your judgment, which one of these three types of patience would be more difficult? Yeah. Patience in calamities, patience in obedience of God. Because you want to obey God, the obedience is difficult, you have to, and patience over disobedience of God. That's three. Which one is more difficult? In calamities. Disobedience. Obedience and disobedience. Disobedience. Yeah, that is more difficult. Okay. So, we have different views here. And that means that probably we have experienced things which have been quite difficult for us. And we have passed through it. And we find it depends on the personal experience sometimes. Sometimes really having patience over disobedience becomes so difficult that a person may give in. Over disobedience, like, for example, abstaining from haram. Like, for example, a young man is tempted by all these casinos and nightclubs and such things, but they have patience over it. Or they are caught in a situation with a non-mahram, for example, they have patience over it. Or they are caught in a situation where they can, for example, embezzle lots of money out of their company, isn't it? And they abstain without anyone knowing. They abstain from doing it. This is patience over disobedience. Okay. Now, all of them are difficult and pleasant, of course. Difficult and pleasant. Now, the Prophet, of course, elaborated on that. This is very interesting. And now, the hadith here shows which one is more difficult. The hadith here shows which one is more difficult. Now, فَمَنْ صَبَرَ الْمُصِيبَةِ حَتَّى يَرُدَّهَا بِخُسْنِ عَزَائِهَا كتب الله له 300 درجه ما بين الدرجه الى الدرجه كما بين السماء الى الارض. Whosoever has patience in calamity until reverting it with his soothing attitude, with relax, and he could just avert that and pass through that calamity with confident soul, God would write for him 300 degrees. Of course, there are myriads of degrees on the Day of Judgment. فَانْدُرْ كَيْفَ فَزَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ وَلَلْآخِرَةُ أَكْبَرُ دَرَجَاتٍ. You see all these different degrees of people in this world. In Akhirah, the degrees are much more. Now, would write for him 300 degrees, that means he would go up 300 degrees. So sometimes calamities work in our favor, isn't it? If we pass through it with confidence, it works in our favor. We don't realize that God has raised us to a higher level. Between 2 degrees would be like the distance between the heaven and the earth. Wow. Lots of quite an elevation, isn't it? Now, وَمَنْ صَبَرَ عَلَى الطَّاعَةِ كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ 600 درجات. This means it's more difficult. It's more difficult. And whoever has patience in obedience, God will write for him 600 degrees. Between 2 degrees would be like the distance between the depth of the earth and to the arsh. Wow, this is much more than heaven and earth, isn't it? So, صَبْرٌ عَلَى الطَّاعَةِ is, now Ramadan is coming, you test your patience. It's good, alhamdulillah, that we have long days. Now, وَمَنْ صَبَرَ عَلَى الْمَعْصِيَةِ كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ 900 درَجَةٍ مَا بَيْنَ الدَّرَجَةِ إِلَى الدَّرَجَةِ كَمَا بَيْنَ تُخُومُ الْعَرْضِ إِلَى مُنْتَهَى الْعَرْشِ. And whoever has patience in obedience, in disobedience, God would write for him 900 degrees. Between 2 degrees would be like the distance between the depth of the earth to top of the arsh. Here is to arsh, here is top of the arsh. So it means sabrun ala al-ma'asiyah is more difficult, as you mentioned. And sabrun ala ta'a, second difficult. And in calamities, it's more easy. Because sometimes, especially a sabr ala ta'ab would become very difficult. Like, for example, you have an enemy who's threatening you to cut off all your source of living unless you leave your faith or you leave your principles. Then you have to have patience there. That is really difficult. And a beautiful hadith again from Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam, شكر المؤمن يظهر في عمله. Now, shukr is a practical thing as well as something which is pertaining to the heart. The thanksgiving a moment appears in his action. For example, if God gives them affluence, the shukr appears. They generously give to others. They do lots of good things with that affluence. So the shukr would appear in there. Or for example, if they have strength and power, they use that for the sake of helping the oppressed. And the thanksgiving of munafiq does not go beyond his tongue. Just say, Ya Allah, I thank you. I thank you even for this small house. Isn't it? It just doesn't go beyond the... Now, the fifth. Of course, there are many, many different aspects and sides to iman. However, just these five I have chosen to mention. Truthfulness is another sign of faith. A Muslim may lie, but a mu'min would not lie unless in certain occasions where it's allowed, or unless if they are caught in a situation. However, they usually do not lie. إِنَّ الرَّجُلْ لَا يَكُونُ مُؤْمِنًا from the Prophet, حَتَّى يَكُونَ قَلْبُهُ مَعَ لِسَانِهِ سَوَاءَ وَيَكُونُ لِسَانُهُ مَعَ قَلْبِهِ سَوَاءَ. The Prophet, peace be on him, the man is not regarded as mu'min until his heart is one with his tongue, and his tongue is one with his heart, and his word does not disagree with his acts. And this is unfortunately is something that we do not find in many Muslims. In different parts of the world, we do not find this sort of oneness of heart and tongue and actions confirming the faith, which shows the number of Muslimun may be quite large, but the number of mu'minun are not quite large. Also, yatma'ul يطبع المؤمن على كل خصلة ولا يطبع على الكذب ولا على الخيانة. So this is very clear that this is an inseparable part of faith, this truthfulness, inseparable part of faith. The mu'min may be molded in any character, but would not be molded in lie and treachery. These two things would never So if you find a Muslim which would easily lie and is treacherous, betrays, that is a Muslim, not a mu'min. It's a Muslim, not a mu'min. And the famous hadith from Amir al-Mu'min, Al-Iman an tu'athira as-sidq haythu yadhurruk ala al-kadhb haythu yanfa'uk wa an la yakuna fi hadithik fadlun an amalik or ilmik wa an tattaqilla fi hadith ghayrik. Iman means that you choose truth where it harms you over lie where it benefits you, and that your word would not exceed your acts. What does it mean, your word do not exceed your acts? It means you don't brag, isn't it? You do not brag that I'm like that, I'm like that, a mu'min should be like this, a mu'min should do all this. For example, we may just count all the qualities of the mu'min in a way that people think they are all in us as well. We have all of them. And that is when our word exceed our acts. Or the knowledge, that means we do not speak. Because ilm and amal may sometimes be confused in old writings. And that you fear God when talking about others. This is also very important. Iman is أن تتق الله في حديث غيرك. When you talk about others, you always have in mind that God is listening. You are talking about one of his creatures. You are talking about someone who has created, who is a mu'min, or is a Muslim, or a creature of God, and he is listening. So, تتق الله في حديث غيرك. When you talk about other people, be careful. This is iman. Now, the merits of mu'min. The last thing that we cover about iman, المؤمنُ أكرمُ على الله. Now, if those qualities, those five qualities, as I said, there are many other qualities, but those five are the most important and outstanding qualities. If you have those five qualities, then you become more honorable and more loved by God than the close angels. The mu'min is more honored by God than the closest angels. Malaikatul Muqarrabin. What's the meaning of Malaikatul Muqarrabin? We have Muqarrabun among human beings, isn't it? What about angels? Here we have the angels also have Muqarrabun among themselves. What does that mean? Because we think that the Muqarrabun among human beings are like angels. Then the angels themselves have Muqarrabun among themselves. Now, one criterion that we define muqarrabun in human beings is that they never sin. And they have love of God. But for angels, all of them have love of God. And they never sin, isn't it? So, what defines a malakun muqarrab than a malakun ghayru muqarrab? What defines him? Or her? There's no gender there. In the realm of angels, there's no gender. What defines an angel? Which is Muqarrab? Yes? Yeah, what does that mean? They receive directions from Allah, yes? Mm-hmm. So they receive direct communication from God. And then they convey to other angels. To other angels. Yes?
Allah has given greater awareness.
Greater awareness? Yeah. So, mainly, if we put all this together, is that, first of all, they have greater awareness or knowledge of God. Greater knowledge of God. That means the greater capacity. And the point about the angels is that they never learn things. So they do not improve. The angels never improve. They are the way they are created. So the capacities are fixed. وَمَا مِنَّا إِلَّا لَهُ مَقَامٌ مَعْلُومٌ. Each one of us has one specific maqam position. We do not change positions. Because human beings change positions. They do not change fixed. So Why it's fixed? Because they have to continuously do the certain duties that Allah has given them. There's no promotion, actually. They're not promoted. Because if they are promoted, there's no one else to take their place. So, the capacities are different. Malakul Muqarrab has greater capacity of knowledge for God. And also, because of that, they have direct communication with God. And because of that, they carry His orders, and they convey those orders to lower angels. Now, these Malakat al-Muqarrabun, there are many, of course, millions or billions of angels who are Muqarrabun. However, there are some famous angels for our world, because they are in touch with us, as Jibreel and Israfil and Mikael, and especially the revered one and scary one, Israel. These are the Malakat al-Muqarrabun. With regards to our world, as I said, because they are in touch with our world. There may be other worlds which other angels are in touch with, we don't know. Now, these are the major ones, but there are many others. Now, here it says, Mu'min is more honored by God than the closest angels. Why? Because those angels have no potential or desire for sinning. They are never caught on crossroads. Mu'minun are always poised on crossroads, or given this difficult choice, and they always choose God. So certainly they are more honored than the angels. إن المؤمن يعرف في السماء كما يعرف الرجل أهله وولده وإنه لأكرم على الله من ملك مقرب. Now again from the prophets, the first hadith was from a Sunni source and this is from a Shi'i source. The same thing, of course, is mentioned from the Prophet, peace be on him. The mu'min is known in heavens as the man knows his family and children. That means the angels, for example, the angels in the other realm, for example, they know Sarfaraz now, as they know their children, and or they know Suhail or whatever. I don't know your names, but they are famous there. As we know our family and children, the mu'min is known in heavens. And of course, they are more honored than a close angel. Now, you can imagine what position would the Prophet have among these angels? What position A'imma alayhi salam have among these angels? Okay, now, I think we have another 15 minutes to go, isn't it? Before we stop for questions and answers. You don't have, I know you don't have, but I thought I add this because we may need more time next week to elaborate on taqwa, because I want to go through this khutbatul muttaqeen of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam. So I just begin this and then I'll send the whole batch to you next week. Now, taqwa. Taqwa is the third level, isn't it? So we had Islam, Iman, taqwa, and Yaqeen. Taqwa is the third level. The meaning of taqwa is from the Arabic root waqaya, waqaya. And it's from the eighth stem verb ittaqa, meaning to protect oneself or be wary. فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّذِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةِ. Protect yourself against a fire. This is so, taqwa is protection. فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةِ. Take protection from, or, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. This قُوْ, of course, is the command from the same root. Keep, protect yourself and your families from the fire. So, it's protection. Now, when we talk about taqwallah, so ittaqillah means protect yourself against God. What does that mean? Disobedience of God. Means that protect yourself against God, which hits you back if you disobey the justice of God. Protect yourself against the justice of God, so to speak. That's the protection. So it's not, although we say it's fear, it's not fearing God, it's protecting oneself against the repercussions of certain things which will come back to people by God, which is the most supreme judge in the world. Also, people have tried to give different meanings to taqwa, like for example, God consciousness. It's true, but again, it doesn't have that sense of protection in it, which is the root of it. Or God wariness. Again, well, wariness may be better. That's, you are somehow wary, cautious that you are not hit back by the repercussions of your actions by the supreme judge of the world. This is the meaning of taqwa. So the verbal noun waqaya means protection. In Surah Nahl, we have, and God has created for you dress which you use in heat and in battle, that's the armors. Taqikum ba'asakum, it protects you from the violence that we use against each other. It protects you. So it's wiqaya is protection. Taqikum al-har, it protects you against heat, the dress. Protects you against the heat, because the dress, especially in desert, for Bedouins, it was protection against the heat. If you didn't have that turban and the face cover, you would have burnt. So, taqikum al-harra wa taqikum ba'asakum. It protects you from heat and from the violence and force. So, waqahu means to preserve something, to take good care of something, to be cautious of something, to safeguard, shield, shelter, preserve, protect, keep someone from something, to guard someone against, to protect, offer or afford protection, to prevent, obviate a danger, to preserve a thing against any harm or injury or damage. So the meaning is very clear. Taqwa is very clear. Now, why we put taqwa above iman? Because in iman, of course, although there are certain elements, however, this overcautiousness to protect oneself is something extra which comes in with taqwa. Therefore, taqwa Allah means to protect oneself against consequences of God's just reprisals. And certainly God has reprisals. There is this system which he has set in this world and in the next world. So you protect yourself against those reprisals of God. Reprisals which is in place to bring everything back to a just position. So if people transgress, that system of reprisals hits back to bring things to the just position again. If certain communities were destroyed, it was just to bring back the whole equilibrium of the world of human beings, or anything which happens in this world. So, it also means to be cautious of anything which may lead to such reprisals. So, a sin, or oppression, or even, for example, say, fiddling or playing with an ant or anything may bring reprisal of God. And it does, actually. A child may not realize, of course, and there's no reprisal for a child, killing ants or small animals. But if a grown-up does that just out of leisure, that would have reprisals, certainly. Of course, you may have insecticides for killing flies and such things, but that's not out of pleasure. That's because there's a need for that. However, if, for example, hunting out of pleasure has reprisals, fishing for pleasure, just not for eating what you hunt or fish. So, it also means to be cautious of anything which may lead to such reprisals. It is to protect the soul from whatever may harm it or infected. Actually, all these would create an infection in the soul. And that is the most severe reprisal, which hits back. The soul would become muddy, would become dirty and infected. So taqwa is you always protect your soul, protect yourself against these harms and diseases which comes to heart. Now, taqwa is regarded to be above iman because of the extra care and caution that the muttaqin would take to protect themselves against a spiritual harm. A mu'min may not have this extra caution, but a muttaqi has this extra caution in whatever they say and they do. Now, the qualities of muttaqin. Here, I thought the best thing would be to just have a quick glance at this sermon of muttaqin in Nahjul Balagha, which Amirul Mu'mineen explains very eloquently the qualities of a true muttaqi, which after mentioning the Hammam who had asked for that description, just passed away because of the influence and impact that it had on his heart. Now, this is Sermon 193 of Nahjul Balagha. رُوِيَ أَنَّ صَاحِبًا لَأَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يُقَالُ لَهُ حَمَّام كَانَ رَجُلًا عَابِدًا. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Mu'minin, I said, no. Hayd al-mu'minin, not muqinin. Did I say muqinin? No, it's mu'minin. Hayd al-mu'minin, yeah. Muqinin are yaqeen, yeah. Muqinin are with yaqeen, mu'minin are with iman. Okay? So muttaqin are 1 degree above the mu'minin. So, it is reported that a companion of Amirul Mu'mineen called Hammam, who was a man devoted to worship, said to him, O Amirul Mu'mineen, describe to me the muttaqin in such a way as though I see them. Amirul Mu'mineen avoided the reply and said, O Hammam, fear God and perform good acts, because verily God is with those who have taqwa and those who do good. He said, Ya Hammam, ittaq Allah wa ahsan. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. This is a verse in the Quran. So he did want to avoid answering the description that he wanted. Now, this Hammam, which of course is quite unknown to us, ironically, although this khutbah is in his name and because of his question, but he himself is not quite known to us as one of the great companions of Amirul Mu'mineen. Hammam was not satisfied with his reply and pushed him to speak. Thereupon Amirul Mu'mineen praised God and extolled him and sought his blessings on the Holy Prophet and then said, now what he said, God the glorified and the sublime created the creation while he had no need for their obedience and was safe from their disobedience. So if you are talking about taqwa or iman or obedience, you shouldn't think that this is for God. This is for us. حين خلق الخال قنيا عن طاعتهم آمنا من معصيتهم لأنه لا تضره معصية من أصاه ولا تنفعه طاعة من أطاعه. Of course, the sin of sinners would not harm him, nor does the obedience of anyone who obeys him benefits him. He has distributed among them their livelihoods, فقسم بينهم معايشهم ووضعهم من الدنيا مواضعهم, and assigned them their position in the world. It means that the acquired positions that you acquire in this world, God has actually made levels for each position that you acquire, and among these of course are muttaqun. فالمتقون فيها هم أهل الفضائل. The muttaqun here are in the are people of distinction. They have many merits, which then he counts the merits. Inshallah, we go to those merits next week, which is our last session. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi tahir. Okay, any question, comment? Yes. It is true in one sense, not true in another sense, yes. Well, loving everyone by us is something, but whether God loves everyone is a different thing. Now, we have to try to call people to God rather than to love us. Well, I mean, you may make enemies because of your faith, because of the way of your life. You shouldn't care about that. If you want to please everyone, then you probably have to desist doing certain things which are duty. You are duty bound to do by your faith. It's very good to, of course, try to make enemies friend. The Quran tells us, retaliate evil with good so that your enemy will become your friend. However, this is where it is possible. Sometimes it's not possible at all. They want to fight you because of your belief, so you cannot do anything. Or they want to oppress others, which you have to help them. I mean, if someone is oppressed and you have the duty to help, you cannot make the oppressor your own friend as well. It's not possible. Yeah. Yes. No, it's established the scholars. Of course, they are derived from hadith, but it's the scholars who have organized it in this way as Furu'uddin. Yes.
Very short question. You touched on forgiveness. Believe that we should have love. Obviously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives if you are forgiving. So we're supposed to not make calling inside of us. Are we supposed to forgive anybody? Or, like Allah says, only that person that you think is sincere.
You mean in personal matters?
Yes, that anybody who comes to you and asks forgiveness, Allah decides based on sincerity whether you forgive. Should you decide that? Or
No. As human beings, we have to forgive everyone. In personal matters. You see, there are other things beyond personal matters. That's a different issue. But in personal matters, we have to forgive everyone. Yeah.
You let Allah
forgive. Yeah.
Striving to become Muslim, hasn't reached it. In other words, he hasn't achieved those steps of five pillars that you mentioned. What is the status of that person?
Well, it should be a good status, but exactly where they are placed by God, I don't know. But وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلًا. Those who struggle in our way, we will guide them. So they are in position of being guided by God, certainly. Well, the extra comes, you will see. The way Amir al-Mu'minin described Muttaqin, you see there are lots of things above these, above just not sinning, which would give the Muttaqi the merit above the Mu'min. Yes. If Allah has forgiven it, it never hits back. Okay? If Allah has forgiven it, it never hits back. But if it's not forgiven, it hits back. But no, no, we may not. We may not. Yeah. Sorry, finish? Okay.